I kept thinking it would just go away, but things just got worse. I was on this downward spiral with no way out. I couldn't describe the hopelessness I felt. I found Narcanon at StopAddiction.com, and things finally began to make sense.
The cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction are overwhelming and often result in relapse. Narcanon provides answers to drug addiction. We provide referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers. When relapse keeps occurring, call Narcanon, 1-800-468-6933. Don't give up. Drug addiction can be overcome. Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933 or visit www.stopaddiction.com today.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
A winter storm warning takes effect later this afternoon. Snow showers likely through the afternoon. Highs expected atop with a southeasterly wind around 5 miles per hour. New snowfall accumulations of around 2 inches possible. Snow will continue through the night tonight. Temperatures will hold fairly steady in the low teens with an easterly wind of 5 to 10. Another 5 inches of snowfall expected. Snow continuing Saturday with a high near 18. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm Nikki Latola.
And right now that light snow continues, and it will eventually end. And then by 3 this afternoon, it will kick in again. That's when this nasty stuff. And it will continue through tonight into tomorrow, and by the time it's all over, they're talking 8 to 12 inches of snow across central Wisconsin. So be aware of that. Conditions this afternoon will rapidly deteriorate, and they're kind of slippery right now. There's been reports of cars sliding off of roads in central Wisconsin. So slow down, folks. Right now, with light snow being reported across the region at 6 in Wausau, 7 in Marshfield, 7 in here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks again, everybody. Yeah, I'm wearing my black and gold today. My alma mater, UW Oshkosh, is going for the Division III National Championship today. So I put on black and gold today, Pete. It's time for financial insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bryan. John Moffitt's also here. And you can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. And I guess we're just going to review 2016 and look forward to 2017. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for coming. Really. Kind of a nasty morning out there.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Okay, so you got to be happy with the way the battle.
I am very much. I especially appreciated the win over Marquette.
So did I. It's always nice to have bragging rights for the rest of the...
Oh, yeah, all my former teammates live in Milwaukee. That's a big game for them.
Okay. So where do we begin with our look back at... I guess we're going to look back at the major events. I mean, there were so many different things that we could talk about, from Brexit to... what's the Fed? That seemed to be the overriding theme all year. What's the Fed going up?
Yeah, that was the beginning of the year when we had the concerns about increasing interest rates and things going on in January. Got a 14% correction right out of the gate, which was pretty unusual.
Okay. So we went from there to what?
Well, I think essentially the world was ending in the first 2 months, and then, one of the two triggers. One, the Fed said, well, maybe we shouldn't raise rates four times like we projected. And then Jamie Dimon bought his stock at 53. It's now 86. So, what it did was give the system confidence that the world wasn't ending, that the oil prices being so low, not every oil company was going to go bankrupt. And so that got us to Brexit.
Yeah. And Brexit, well, if Britain pulls out of the European Union, that's it. That's it. Here comes the bad days. It's the end. It's over.
For a situation that's going to take a couple of years to play out.
That's right.
There's an immediate response, and then, maybe it's not as bad as we think it is.
And it may not even happen.
Correct. If the Supreme Court rules in a certain way that the Parliament has to do it and everyone in Parliament wants to stay in the EU, good luck on that whole situation.
But so
from Brexit, I think, you know, we kind of said, well, you know, life is good, levels to buy. You know, that kind of took us to, you know, the campaign season where the just ugliness of that
yes.
kind of tempered, you know, a lot of buying. We kind of stayed in place, didn't go down, didn't really go up, you know, a lot of fear-mongering and things like that, and that brought us to the election.
And then the election happens. Mr. Trump is elected president. And hold it. Well, not only do we have Mr. Trump, the Republicans control both the House and the Senate. So for the first time in a long time, we're going to have a unified government, a one party, and supposedly a pro-business party running the U.S. government. And now they're calling it the Trump rally because... investors and getting the shackles coming off, and they're going to be given some more freedom to do what they need to do.
Yeah, Pete, you probably know this better than I, but I think when the statistic is when one party controls both the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office, that the returns are the lowest of the divided government. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't know what the ultimate
right.
Return is going to be 4 years from now, but the statistical data says that ultimately we might not like that arrangement.
Why is that?
I can't answer that question. Maybe Pete can, but, you know, we look at a lot of stats. And
I know, you look at...
You have to look at, go back to the situations that occurred. But it could be you get one party in power... They just spend whatever they want to spend. I mean, that's the real key for me is what are they going to do with the spending habits of the central government we have?
Yeah. Well, there is that concern. There's been concern expressed about the plan
right.
that the president-elect has, and then his tax-cutting plan and what that will do to the overall deficit. So
right. Just to echo back to John's point, the last time we had Democrats in all three... phases of government was Obama's first term, which brought us Obamacare, and so that might be an example. Although,
sure.
you know, the reality is, obviously, Obama's legacy will be that he probably had the second most successful run of the stock market, only surpassed by Bill Clinton. In a way, both were Democrats. So the whole Republican-Democrat thing is... theoretical as a more so than practical, but you know what we're seeing now and is a lot of anticipation.
All okay.
right, we're seeing that there are a lot of rhetoric about tax cuts. Well, I think the most significant tax cut that would really benefit would be repatriation of the money from overseas, where there's $2 trillion, and if at a 10% tax rate. When they did this, I believe in 04, 05, 500 million came back, and we have significantly more to start with than they did when 500 million came back. But when you think it through, that's if we get 500 million coming back in the United mm-hmm. States just as a number, it's going to will hire more people. Or build new plant, or art research and development and invest in the future, or raise dividends, or buy back shares. But it's all going on in the United States, and theoretically then would benefit the U.S. economy. And I think that's going to happen. At what rate, we'll wait and see. But, you know, the tax cut is a kind of interesting that. If you are a small business owner and things flow through to you, there's a great chance, but if you're at 35, you could go to 25%. So there's a lot of businesses, some big, a lot small, that'll benefit and have more money in their pocket. The middle class guy, however, may not only not get a tax cut, he could get a tax increase because in one of the proposals, things like property tax and state tax are excluded. Mm-hmm. And so you think about, you know, those are two of the bigger write-offs if you deduct that you won't get, and you, in fact, could potentially get an increase. So, you know, you hear tax cut, you assume
I'm going to get a tax cut.
Correct.
Yeah. And that could be a shocker. You mentioned the middle class, because that was the large group of the white middle class was considered the major factor in it. If all of a sudden they find out, wait, hold it a minute, there could be political consequences down the road, and I'm sure the markets are always interested in these kind of things, as, and that's probably why we have these statistics that you come up with.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking a lot about politics, but it all comes down to economics when it's all said and done, and how corporate America does, and to Pete's point, when they bring that cash back, we're at levels of dividends we haven't seen in our whole career, have we, Pete?
Correct.
I mean, we're seeing companies that are paying 5 and 6% dividends in a low interest rate environment. And if corporate America keeps giving cash back to us as investors, we just keep buying those types of securities.
And these are good, stable, strong companies.
Right.
With a great history, and they're making stuff that we need.
Yeah, if you think AT&T is a good company, they'd qualify.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, consistent quality, 5.5%, that looks pretty attractive in this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're getting, well, now you might be getting 0.000 whatever on savings.
And now we have the AT&T Time Warner merger that is pending approval of the federal government. So you get approvals of some of those things. Stock market likes that also.
What about the big question, before we go to break, has been Trump's trade policy. And if there is some friction between Congress and the administration regarding trade policy, how could that play out, or how could that affect the market?
Well, first of all, you know, I think if everyone has been paying attention, just because Trump said something to get elected has not really proven out in all its phases that's what he looks like he's going to do. So, you know, just to think Trump is a businessman, all right? And so it was a lot, you know, like the big bad wolf. He huffed and puffed and
blew the...
Right, exactly. So is he huffing and puffing? So, you know, like John said, who really knows? But I think when we do probably more business with China than any other country in actual total volume,
mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of business with us, I don't think, you know, there'll be a lot of it'll be quite interesting, because the reality is China's currency is at a multi-year low right now because they're trying to keep support it, and they're selling dollars to buy back their own currency. And so the whole trade manipulation, where it might have been true at one point, isn't necessarily true right now. And so... to answer your question, obviously, who knows,
mm-hmm.
but there'll be some middle ground.
Okay. Well, you have to look at the states, too. For instance, Wisconsin does a lot of trade. They're going to be sending a group to China pretty soon, I believe. Another trade. We've had multiple trade missions to China from Wisconsin, led by the governor or lieutenant governor. And so we consider them an important part of Wisconsin's economy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's unique.
No. The other part of these trade deals is we need to sell our products to other countries.
Right.
So by not having these trade deals, it makes it harder for our companies to sell overseas. And we're at Buena Vista, are big believers in global trade, and we need global trade. Our companies are all global in nature. And the important thing to remember about all this is that there's two forms in our government. You have to have the approval of the legislature before you can just wipe out these trade deals.
Yeah, and I think because I'm hearing from a number of key Republicans who are saying, hold it, the way we're going to try and bring back jobs is with tax reform, like we were talking about, not with trade restrictions. That would hurt a lot of people. So I think Mr. Trump is probably, I'm sure his advice, it looks like he's fairly pragmatic when you really look at the naming to his cabinet. I mean, there's some folks that, you went, Nikki Haley, you know, she blasted him during the campaign, and she's been called a rhino by some, and she's in the cabinet. So.
Well, I think there, you can make that case for a lot of his appointees.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitt Romney speaks for himself. You know, there was a lot of them that got up and said that. But, you know, I think on trade, essentially, if I had to make a prediction, I think it's more about tweaking the current deals so that we are getting a better, you know, something more to our advantage than giving away more and stuff, rather than we're going to stop trading with you.
And the Canadian Prime Minister basically said, hey, we're willing to sit down and talk and look at NAFTA. Does it need some tweaking? Yeah, it'd probably be a good idea. He said, probably be a good idea to take a look at it.
Is the world different?
Yeah, I would think so. Right now, we got to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management.
Hey, girls, we know what's hot. When a guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no, not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what happened in the past or whether or not we said yes but then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex, it's illegal. That's right. Groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot. Respect! For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
A winter storm warning takes effect later this afternoon. Snow showers likely through the afternoon. Highs expected to top out near 15, with a southeasterly wind around 5 miles per hour. New snowfall accumulations of around 2 inches possible. Snow will continue through the night tonight. Temperatures will hold fairly steady in the low teens, with an easterly wind of 5 to 10 inches of snowfall expected. Snow continuing Saturday with a high near 18. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm Nikki Latola.
And right now we have light snow and across central Wisconsin and 9 here at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bryan, John Moffitt. They're both here. And again, you can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. We looked back at the major events of 2016, gentlemen. Well, 17. We're going to have a new president, new Congress, et cetera, et cetera. How do you see this playing out on Wall Street and in the investment world?
Well, right now it's playing out very well.
Yeah,
there's a lot of buying going on in especially the sectors are projecting to benefit the most, i.e., financials. Financials have been under. Most of the financials aren't priced higher stock wise than they were in 2007.
Okay.
So that's been 9 years. Obviously, there's some exceptions, but the perception being deregulation, less Dodd-Frank potentially, interest rates going up creates a bigger spread, so what they have to pay for money and what they can lend it at creates more profits. So they're going up. You made a reference to infrastructure that we hadn't talked about, but we've heard as much as $1 trillion in infrastructure. So Caterpillar Tractor is at a multi-year high. Deere is at a multi-year high. The engineering companies are all at a high in anticipation of all that. So in setting that as the baseline, the question becomes, things are priced based on expectations.
Right.
What will be? Will the expectations become reality, or will they be deferred, or will they? You know, we had a lot of talk about infrastructure in the last 8 years and shovel-ready projects, and for whatever the reason, didn't get it implemented. So, you know, is the tax rate going to be 20 25, 15, 10,
right.
You know, at those various levels, it'll happen a lot of different things. So right now, it's a good stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is going to be pretty good through the end of the year because, you know, if you're going to get lower taxes next year, why would you take your profit this year and things? So, so as we see going into next year, it's going to be about the connection of what is anticipated and what actually gets done.
Yeah. Because of the disappointment, then, it could go in the tank.
Correct. Because the stock market is based on what they see 6 months out.
Right.
So if the first part of the year, you know, people say, well, we got Republican House and we got a Republican Senate and the presidency. But within that group, there's a Tea Party. He was basically brought into office because of the concern of wasteful spending and the deficit. And if there's things that will enhance the deficit up and above or spending that doesn't make sense within their own party, they could have obstructionists and things like that, which would obviously make it more difficult.
Yeah, there's already been talk about that. And I'm glad you're Republicans, because there's been some who have said, hold it a minute. We're going to cut taxes, and we're also going to have all this spending on infrastructure. I don't know if I can go for that. There's been, and so that debate, you're already hearing that. On the Republican side of the aisle, and then the Republican margin in the Senate is no bigger. In fact, they lost seats. They kept their majority, but they still lost seats. And we all know the Senate can be really things.
Well, and you would think that in the disappointment of the Democrats with the election results, but more so in the 8 years. You know, the Republicans weren't necessarily user-friendly when they were in power, and they did a lot of things to block it. So is this their time to
pay back?
And, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, I get the impression that Trump behind isn't necessarily the Trump that leads the league in tweets and Twitter things. And so, you know, does he really have the ability to bring into a coalition, or is he going to be a dividing force? And so, again, without people working to get together, the discord could lead to disappointment, which could, you know, put a damper on the market.
Where are the places, going into 2020, where is the money going to go, or where do you see as some of the top places to invest?
You know, valuations are already pretty high.
And some are saying too high.
Yeah, and we could debate that that number, but valuations are high. I think Pete and I both like the financial stocks because they're going to get a bump in earnings from the margins that if the Fed raises interest rates. And their earnings have improved substantially. But across the board, this was the best quarter in the last seven quarters for earnings from corporate America. So we're kind of on a little upswing, and valuations can be improved by increased earnings. So
you mentioned oil companies. This read something that been a big increase just within the last couple of weeks in drilling, again, because of the price of oil going up and the OPEC agreement, and that we're seeing more oil coming out of America on the market again. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing story because there's just too much oil out there, and the availability is always going to keep prices relatively stable unless there's some political or geopolitical issue that we have to face. But I don't know how you feel about that, Pete.
I think, and people may or may not know this, but technology is a wonderful thing, and what's going on and really helping a lot of domestic U.S. Explorers is that the price to get to the oil through fracking has gone down dramatically, so that At $50, there's money to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that, consequently, they're willing to put more rigs back to use. And so, I mean, it could be, at least for a while, a pretty interesting situation in that employment in that industry increases, profit increases, but yet because of the oversupply of oil, we may not be seeing $100 per barrel anytime soon, and that would keep the economy, because John and I, while when we came over, we're talking about putting $100 bills in your Suburban not that long ago. And,
yeah,
you know, that allowed you not to buy a lot of different things, and obviously is something that strains the economy.
It was a huge tax cut. So I read an economist who compared it to across-the-board tax cut by the government, but was done by the market in terms of gasoline prices coming down.
But the people that benefited the most were the low and middle people.
Spend the money.
Who spend the largest percentage of their overall income on gasoline.
What about our, I know you mentioned you believe in worldwide markets, and we've, during our shows, we've often talked about that. What worldwide markets do you think will benefit in 2017?
Well, on a valuation basis, both Asia and Europe are better values.
Okay.
And Asia, in their currencies, you know, and especially Euro, the Euro's down to 104. 3 or 4 years ago, it was 160, just to give. So those particular companies have a great ability to compete in the world market because our dollar is so strong, which obviously hurts our companies to a certain mm-hmm. degree. So, you know, I think Europe, and it's been stabilizing. The markets have kind of broken through there. And, you know, Asia is kind of with China. But, you know, in general, looking a little more towards putting some, a little more allocation into, you know, either one of those markets. The emerging markets are an interesting situation in that, you know, a strong dollar has traditionally hurt the emerging markets, but a lot of the emerging markets are based on the commodities, petro, mm-hmm. Oil and iron ore and all those things. And those are all doing quite well. So their ability to sell more product and more revenues, and if we are going to have industrial and infrastructure and capital expenditures, the emerging markets is probably a little more speculative as the volatility is greater there, but could be potentially the best market over the next three to four years.
Okay.
You know, it's the best return in Brazil.
Wow, 65%. I wouldn't think about that.
Yeah.
With all the political chaos and everything there.
It's up 65. That's
wow.
Hard to believe, isn't
it? It is. That's amazing. Gentlemen, this has been fun. I want to wish you both and your families and all your investors, et cetera, et cetera, Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2017.
Thank you, Carl.
Carl, it's been great. It's been our last show, at least for a while.
Yeah.
You've been spectacular. Message out to all the viewers, and if they need more insights, they know where they can find us.
Yes, that's 715-422-0700. Okay, guys.
Thanks for making us feel so comfortable, Carl.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome, guys. Have a great holiday season. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of The Morning Magazine here on AM 1320 and WFA. HR.com has been brought to you by Comfort Air. CBS News is coming up next.
Your 24-hour information station, AM 1320, WFHR, Wisconsin.